Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We are starting Sefer Bereshit. And before we start Sefer Bereshit, we have to understand, as I always ask, what is the most important day today? Because what was yesterday, it was. It's gone. What's going to happen tomorrow? Who knows? Only God. So we have to deal with today. Now, what is today? We finished Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and we all hope that we were signed good for a very, very good year from all kinds of spiritually, physically, health, everything. Bezrat Hashem. Now the question is, like, what do we do now? Because as we said, and today is not only just another important day, it's today, and it's also after Sukkot. So it's like, a few minutes ago I talked about it. Everybody took the sukkah away till next year. Or if normally, let's say most of the people today have those ready-made sukkahs, so they just take them, put them away for next year. So don't put away the lesson that we learn from sukkahs. Put away only the sukkah itself, but the idea behind it, that is what we are now. We have to deal with it. Yesterday, we asked for rain. Now, rain in Hebrew, geshem. Geshem is gashmiyut. The geshem, the rain, is the symbol of all the materialistic, physical things in this world. That's why, when we read in Sefer Bereshit, we read twice about the creation of Adam HaRishon, and also a part of the creation itself. And first of all, we learn a big lesson. I think we talked about it last year, because we know that God wanted to create the world in Midat HaDin.
Yeah, in the spring.
And Midat HaDin, which means judgment. You do something wrong, you pay for it. But then God saw it's impossible. So he mixed with Midat HaDin, Midat HaRachamim. Chesed, mercy. How do we see it? The truth is, it's written very simply in the book. When we read the whole first chapter, Bereshit bara Elokim. Then we go on, and Elokim is the name of God when we talk about judgment. And then it's written, Vayar Elokim. Vayavdel Elokim. And you go through it all. It's Vayomer Elokim, Vayikra Elokim. The whole first chapter that is talking about the creation, which we read yesterday, it's talking about God in the name of judgment, Elokim. And then look what's happening. After we say Vayichulu, Ele toldot ha-shamayim ve-ha-aretz, we already told us. Bereshit bara Elokim ta-shamayim ve-ta-aretz. Why do you go again? Ele toldot ha-shamayim ve-ha-aretz be-i-bar-am. Be-yom asot Hashem Elokim. Two names of God. And Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, is the name of mercy, chesed. So we see very clearly that the first chapter is talking about din, judgment. And the second chapter is going again, and all the time you will see the same thing. It's unbelievable. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim. Go on. Vayatzmach Hashem Elokim. Vayikach Hashem Elokim. You can go through it. It's all the time, every time that God is mentioned with two names. One is mercy, chesed, and the other one is judgment, din. To show us that it's not just Chazal telling us something, it's written. The thought was to do it din, so you have only the name of God, din, Elohim. Then, in the reality, for us, yes, he mixed the din with the chesed. And what is first, by the way?
The law.
The chesed. Hashem Elokim. Yes, very interesting. That's God because he loves us so much. The interesting thing is, when we come to the scene with the nachash, with the snake, It's again midat hadin. It's only Elohim. When we go, we come to the Nachash.
How do you show mercy before the sin?
No, it's not a sin. It's din, judgment.
All right.
In other words, it's very good, the question. The thing is, you know, God put laws. So din means I go according to the law, that's it. In other words, I did a sin, I have to get punished. So that in the beginning God thought, I'm going to create a world, din. Why? Because the whole idea of the creation of the world was for the neshama to come down to this world and earn its living. Because the neshama was sitting there getting all the goodness of God and doing nothing for it. And we all know that we feel very bad if people are giving us things and we don't do anything for it. We also don't exactly appreciate it. But when you do it by yourself, you feel good about it and you appreciate it much more. And this is when we are a combination of neshama and body. Imagine to yourself the neshama by itself, how ashamed it feels when it's getting and doing nothing for it. It's like this poor guy, you're giving him all the time and he feels ashamed. So God created the world that we have the combination of the neshama with the body to keep the mitzvahs. And now when we keep the mitzvahs, we are doing something for the reward, for what we're getting. Now, in order to achieve this, the best thing was, there is a law, you have to do what the law tells you to do, and if you don't do it, you get punished. That's the reason you came here. But God saw that if this is the way, the combination of flesh and blood and a spiritual neshama from up there cannot be judged only in din. If it's going to be judgment, like a court case, you did a sin, okay, pay for it. Who can survive? So God mixed with the din the chesed, mercy. Chesed, what does it mean chesed? And why is chesed before din? Before, the whole idea is to understand and realize, like we say, we said Avinu Malkeinu. We didn't say Malkeinu Avinu. We say first of all our father and then our king. Because a father loves his children. A king, maybe he loves his subject, but it's not the same love as a father. And this is exactly the same thing. First of all, God tells us, I love you. It's chesed. Everything I built is for your good. And because I know that you cannot go through it without chesed, I put chesed in. But there is a din. It's not that God says, okay, there is no din. Don't do this mistake. You have to obey the law of God. But there is chesed. There's a whole subject by itself. But the idea is, first of all, I wanted to show you how it's written very in the pshat. So you see, the whole first chapter is talking about judgment. The name of judgment, which is Elohim. And the second one, Hashem Elohim, which is chesed and din, which is unbelievable. And then when we get, it's like you see, the way to learn the Torah is to realize, understand, that there is a reason for everything. There is not one word, one letter, without a reason. So if the whole first chapter is written Elohim, 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 and the second one is written Hashem Elohim, it means something. And now we saw it, how you can learn just looking at the pshat. What Chazal say, because a lot of people said, okay, very nice idea. God wanted to create the world midat adin, then he mixed midat chesed. Okay, and they go on in life, don't even see that it's written in the pshat. Now let's go to the Nachash. Let's go to the snake. V'anachash ha'yaru mikol chayat ha'sadeh. And the snake, he was very clever, but very also slimy and very
dishonest.
So, asher asa Hashem Elohim. We here still have Hashem Elohim. Chesed and din. V'yomer la'isha, af ki amar Elohim. Suddenly, the chesed is not there anymore. It's only Elohim. מפרי אשר בטעם אמר אלוקים לא תאכלו. כי ידע אלוקים. And then the whole story of the snake is with the name of judgment, Elohim, to tell us the snake is Yetzer Hara. And Yetzer Hara works on you, it's Midat Adin. And we have to make sure that it doesn't work on us. So, first of all, we saw this beautiful thing about the creation that is built for us, mixed with the Chesed. Now, let's understand, what did we do yesterday? We asked for Geshem. Do you know what is the acid of the creation? Water. Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim et haaretz. Ve'aretz hayta tohu vavohu, ve'choshek al pnei tohum, ve'ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei hamayim. So in other words, from when we read this, the first thing in the creation was what? Water. Ve'ruach Elokim merachefet al hamayim. Now what's the idea behind it? What is water? Water is life, water is Torah, water is everything. In anything in the nature, it's more than 60% water. The human body also. Everything in the creation is... Now, God created the world with water, and how did he destroy it? We go through the Parashat Bereshit, and we see the creation, and then, right away,
the flood.
Water again. You know, I davened yesterday in a minion, a Sfaradi minion. So they and Musaf, they Musaf, they had Fidat Hageshem and everything. But the Ashkenazim, the Chazan wears a kittel on Musaf, and the melody is the same tune as we do on Ne'ila. Yeah. Why?
We're baking.
Because it's people don't realize how important is rain. And that's why the Chazan wears a kittel and he prays with the music that we do on Ne'ila. To put this in our head that we need rain. And rain is not only the rain that we think that comes down and things grow. Rain is everything. It's water. It's the way the world was created and it's the way the world was destructed, destroyed. It's the water that symbolizes the Torah. It's the water that each one of us contains inside him. In other words, without water, there is nothing. That's why it's so important to pray for the water. And as in the second way that the God is describing the creation. After we already being told that Adam was created, and then secondly, it says, "Ele toldot haShamayim veHaaretz beIbaram beYom Asot Hashem Elokim Eretz veShamayim veChol Tziach Hasadein." All everything was there. But nothing grow. Why? Terem itzmach ki lo imtir Hashem Elokim al haaretz. There was no rain. And if there is no rain, nothing grows. Why was it no rain? Ve'adam en la'avod et ha'adamah. Explains Rashi. Because Adam was not there. The human being was not there yet to pray for the rain to come down. In other words, who is really giving the world the power to grow? Us with our prayers. God gave us this power. It says, God prepared everything. But now, the whole world was waiting for what? For Adam HaRishon to pray for the rain. And only then, everything started to grow. This is how important rain is. And this is how important is our part in the creation. One of the questions being asked is, why was the world created? For human being, for us, to keep the Torah. So if this is the case, why isn't the Torah starting with Bereshit, bara Elokim et Adam? And then tell us about the creation. Because the whole idea is Adam HaRishon. Says Rav Chaim HaKadosh, a very interesting thing. Says, Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. This is the creation. Heaven and earth. Or in other words, spiritual and physical. And what is human being? Apart shamayim, the neshama, and apart aretz, which is the flesh and blood. In other words, human being is mentioned in the beginning. Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz, ve-aretz hayta tohu vavohu. And what we do, the physical part was in a problem. What's the problem? You know, yesterday, the last day of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, Simchat Torah, I learned a big lesson. It's very nice to preach and tell people what to do. But I tell you that I preach for myself. I talk to myself. And by the way, there are also a few other people that listen. I used to be very hot-tempered. Until today, I've got it. And I have to fight with it all the time. Now, you stay in a hotel. And you have to wait for an egg. Have you been in this episode once?
Yes.
Standing there in the line. And then before you, there are two people. You think you have to wait for two people. Two people is two eggs, three eggs, four eggs. Omelette like this, omelette like this, whatever. Suddenly you see the one in front of you calls a lady on the other side, which is also another place where they do it. You don't have to wait. I'll order for you. And suddenly, the two eggs she wanted become 10. Not enough. The one before her, that is already, eggs are on the fire, already on being made. He sees his brother or his cousin. He says, oh, come. What do you need? What eggs do you need? And suddenly, instead of waiting for two, I'm waiting for 25. I got very angry. At the other side, I see my daughter-in-law is there in the line, and she's made us says, you know what? I shout to her, which is not nice, but you know, in Israel, you act like an Israeli. And I tell you, take two eggs for me. That's two eggs. She says, okay. So I take my plate and I go around. And when I get there, is this guy start shouting and pushing me. I won't let you, my pitom. How dare you go? The real truth is right. Because I'm doing to him what 2 minutes ago somebody did to me. I got so angry. Okay, and I threw the plates on the place there and I went to my place. But I couldn't. My son says, he touched you. Didn't do anything. So I come back to him. I says, you know, to shout for an egg like this, no, you're right, not right. Says, he pushes me, so I pushed him. Maybe in another 2 minutes there was a whole fight there. But then I stopped myself. What am I doing? For a stupid egg? On Simchas Torah I'm starting a fight. So I asked forgiveness from the guy. He says, you know, you're right, I guess. And we also kissed and hugged and thing and everything. But the thing is, it's not easy.
What did you benefit with his wife?
Have you or not? That's very important.
I would send my wife to hug you. The thing is, in the middle, my son saw something happening, and my two sons come running, and there was a whole big thing going in the whole in the place, like security and things for what? For an egg. And you know, this is life. Sometimes we get angry on such stupid things.
Was standing on line?
Yeah. Oh. Standing on line for an egg. So, my lesson was, first of all, I was ashamed that I got angry on an egg. But you know, we have temper. And we see things happening in front of us, even if it's wrong. And it makes us
angry
and do the same thing that we are angry about. So somebody pushes in the line. So what do you tell to yourself? What the chutzpah? But then, he says, you know what, well, he's pushing, maybe I'll push also. What, I'm going to stand there and wait and everybody's going to push? I'm going to push. And that's a big lesson for us. That's exactly the thing. Va'aretz hayta tohu vavohu. In 2 minutes we can destroy everything we built because of anger. It says, tole eretz al blima. Says, God hangs the whole world on a stop. What is the stop? Somebody who stops his anger. In other words, you get angry and you stop. Like on the road. You see somebody in front of you and you have to do an emergency brake, you brake. When you can do this, God loves you. Just look at him. He got angry, but he stopped himself. We are not saints. To tell us not to get angry is very easy. Some are more, some are less. But the idea is to remember, what do we do in this world? And we have a job to do. And put things in the right proportion. It's not always easy. That's what I'm saying. When I'm talking about, I'm thinking about it, and it really aggravated me the whole day. Why did I get angry for an egg? So I promised myself that next time I'm in an hotel, I'm not going to stand in the line for the egg. Only if there is nobody there, or it's very easy, or very early.
It's not right either.
What?
It's not right either.
What?
That next time you won't stand, you won't do it. You can't walk away from life. You have to...
It's not... That's exactly the point. It's not walking... I thought about it. It's not walking away from life. You have other options. You have scrambled eggs ready. You have shakshuka ready. You have hard-boiled eggs ready. You don't have to wait in line. So to wait in line for an egg in a hotel that you paid a lot of money to fry a fried egg, I can survive without it. And sometimes you have to, sometimes in life you do have to go around if it's not important. Is it important to have the egg, a fried egg? Is it important?
But it was not more important to tell the man who asked for 20 eggs that that's not right.
You try. You saw what happened to me. The same would happen the other way. You say he was right from his side. From the other side, I did exactly what everybody did. I didn't do anything strange. And you know, my daughter only took 2 eggs. It's not that she was standing up for 10 eggs. You know, sometimes you stand in front of somebody and he wants to for the whole family. Yes, sorry. I tell you the truth, during sukkahs normally, because we davened quite early, when we get to the sukkah, we had no lines, we had no problem. But on Simcha's story, it was long praying, and when you came to the dining room, there was everybody there, and it was a whole balagan. But the idea is, what I wanted to tell you is, it's not the egg, and it's not the line, it's the temper, or let's say, avodat amidot. This is what we should work. Exactly. That's what we. That is our main job.
Israel does bad midot.
Sorry. Yes.
In your first line, where the other people call, what do you do?
Tell you the truth.
Go away.
Yes. There's nothing you can do.
If somebody is doing you wrong, go away.
Not in everything. That's what I'm saying. You have to put the things. That's exactly the idea. You have to put things in the right proportion. Get your priority right. Because you know, I'm standing here for what?
Well, if it's not for him, you tell him.
It is something very important. You should. You know, the Torah doesn't tell you give up. The Torah tells you do the fight in the right way. Fight in the right way. That's what the Torah is telling you. That's avodat amidot. You know, I shouldn't get angry. That's the first thing. You shouldn't get angry. It's not easy. We are not saints.
But the wrongdoer, must you keep quiet and go away?
If you can do something about it, do. Because part of our mission in life is not only to keep things for ourselves, it's to teach others. So if you can do it in the right way and tell the guy, you know, it's not nice coming here and taking 20 eggs when people are waiting in the line.
Yeah,
but I'm saying, that's so in other words, can you do something?
Nothing.
So what do you want? You want to hit him? I hit him yesterday. So what, that is this a solution? No. It's not a solution. It happens all the time.
It happens all the time, so we must just be like...
Remember the sukkah. Remember, this is a temporary world. We are on test all the time. And God wants us to behave better than others. We have to try.
But we didn't teach the wrongdoer.
Because in this case... You say, they say this, Kashem shemitzvah lomar davar shenishma. The same way it's a mitzvah to say something that people listen to you, it's a mitzvah to say. Mitzvah lo lomar davar shelo nishma. There is also a mitzvah not to say something that nobody is going to listen to. It's also a mitzvah. It's interesting. It's an interesting point, but that's exactly the idea. You see, we live in a world, especially here in Israel, it's hot weather. People are hot-tempered. And people sometimes have got no manners. And this is our test. I was not right getting angry, as I'm sorry to tell you. Even though when you look at it from, let's say, from a general point of view, I was 100% right. Yeah. Somebody in front of me did the same. So I did the same. Somebody in front of me, maybe I should have shouted at him. Maybe I should have told him, why do you take 10 eggs? Maybe. But that's not the idea. The idea is, who am I? Am I somebody who loves God and wants to do what God wants me to do? So let's think together. What would God want me to do in a situation like this? What do you think? Shout? Hit? Definitely not.
No. To teach actually, other people. They must stand in the queue like everybody
else. To try. But do it in good manners.
On the other hand.
Exactly. On the other hand, if you try and you see it's not working, what do you do now? You ask God, what do you think? What God would think?
Teach your children.
That's of course. That the thing is now that, as you say, there is a big lesson here to teach your children also. To teach them, you see, this is not the way to behave, and also the way I behave is not the right way.
On the other hand, the person who was doing the eggs should not have said.
That's exactly what I tell the manager there on the place. I said, this is not right what you're doing here. It's impossible that somebody will come here and stand in a line and somebody in front of him will have 10 eggs. Sorry, that's not the way it works. I don't have to wait. And okay. I know I'm against the whole idea. You know, you pay a lot of money and you have, and it's a good hotel and you have to wait for an egg. Boy, Nishalayla. The waiter comes to me, I want an egg like this, bring me an egg.
Yeah.
And that's it. But that's a part of our education here. In a lot of places in the world, you won't have it. If you go to a very good hotel, you will order an egg and it will get it to your table. Yes.
We were in Kutsal and the Kutsal deciding, they try to be clever and go to... And everybody say, Yehudim, Yehudim, don't...
Chilul Hashem, Chilul Hashem.
Israelim.
Yes, and that's exactly one of the reasons that I... After realizing what I'm doing, I asked his forgiveness, and we even got to the level of Chag Sameach and kissing. It's only an egg. What do we do here? Because it's not, so many people watching now, they don't know the whole story. It's Chilul Hashem. They see a religious guy fighting with another guy. What do they think? Look at those religious guys at the behind. So you see, this is exactly the point. We should look at the situation not from our private point of view, from the general. As we always say, we are a part of Am Yisrael. If we are egoistic, if we think only about ourselves, this is the way the world will look. So we should be better. We should look at the general picture. I want to we are unfortunately on time. I just want to end it on a very, very short story about realizing that God gives us everything, and even if everything is now finished, we still have to do the good in the eyes of God. There was this guy, maybe I told you the story. He wanted to give, he was a very rich person. He was by himself. And he wanted to give his kids the Yerusha when he's alive, that they shouldn't fight about it. So he gave everything he had to all his children. Now, his children used to every Shabbos, every Yontef, every time they used to look after him, and they were fighting where he's going to stay. After he gave everything up, what do you think happened?
Nobody bothered about it.
No, you know, we have a function, we've got no place, or we're very busy, and suddenly nobody wants to know about him. He goes to his rabbi. It's a true story, by the way. It's a true story. He goes to his rabbi, and he tells the rabbi, look what happened. He says, you did a mistake, but you know, I've got a solution for you. He gave him a small notebook. He says, you take this notebook, you take a pencil or a pen, and whatever happens around you, you write in the notebook and close it. Nobody should see what you're writing, and it doesn't matter what you write. You scramble, you do whatever you want. Just make sure nobody gets to your notebook. He says, this rabbi is stupid. What is it? It's a Michiganer. Well, oh, but he says, the rabbi said, I'm going to do it. So he comes and starts writing. Suddenly, in a week time, everybody wants him again. No, this Shabbos you with me. This Shabbos with me. Everybody fighting. He says, whoa, this rabbi is a miracle maker. He runs to the rabbi. He says, rabbi, you saved me. He says, tell me the secret of this magical notebook. He says, it's no magic. You see, your children know that you are very rich. When they thought you gave everything, so they stopped caring about you. But now when they saw you writing, they thought maybe he's got something more. And now he's looking at us and seeing who is the one who's going to behave the best. And he's writing it down. Oh, this, that. And then the one who is doing the best is going to get the other part of the Yerusha. So everybody was. So there is a big lesson here. Yes.
My father did the same thing. He had millions.
Oh, yes.
He gave it all to us all with his attorney and his accountant. Yes. We didn't fight once.
Baruch Hashem.
We didn't get on with each other.
Baruch Hashem.
We didn't fight.
Baruch Hashem. And that's what I'm saying. But
he died a poor man. He died. He was worth 100,000 instead of millioning.
Yeah.
But I also want to add to this.
But what I'm going to say is God is not our, not a father human from flesh and blood. God is giving us all the time, and he's got a lot to give us. So let's behave to our Father in heaven in a different way, in thinking about the Pinkas, the notebook that God is writing everything we're doing.
But I think more important than that even is, if you're wearing a kippah, you are making a statement.
Of course. That's what I said. That's why I said, because I asked for forgiveness. Because I thought, why should everybody's looking? And it helped me, and you know, it's a great busha to do this.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Of course.
To say, especially for an Israeli, to say I'm wrong. And the truth is, I didn't think I was so wrong, but I was wrong in the behavior. So to say wrong in front of all the everybody, it's not easy.
Your motivation was good.
Sorry?
Your motivation was good, but your action was bad.
Yeah, I'm saying, whatever it is.
The motivation was there. We're often in that situation.
Yes, so
probably on a daily basis.
It's a saying in English. It takes a big man to apologize.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I'm big or small, but I had to do it. Because it's also my family there, and all the dining room, and all the. It was really an unbelievable episode. But Baruch Hashem. So I wish you all, first of all, a good winter. With a lot of prosperity and everything, and to have the power to fight the Nachash, the Yetzer Hara, and to win the fight.
Gam lecha.